إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Wherever Allah guides, there is none that can lead Him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for Him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate, and scatter from them too many men and women. And fear Allah from you, demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger achieves the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strang, and every strang is in the fire. We want to read from this evening, Wujub Luzum al-Jama'a wa Tark al-Tafarruq by Jamal Ahmed ibn Bashir Badi, or the obligation of holding on to the jama'ah and leaving off division. This book, in the past, we had covered about 11 lessons or so from it in our classes there in Philadelphia. And that was basically around the beginning part of the book, which deals with the ayat and the hadith that established the obligation of holding on to the jama'ah, and the ayat and the hadith that blames and warns against division, which can be summed up in one statement of Allah Ta'ala, part of the ayat, and that's the statement, وَعَتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And I command you to hold on to the rope of Allah altogether and do not divide. I command you to hold on to the rope altogether, an obligation to hold on to the jama'ah, and do not divide, the prohibition of division. And this is what, though the Shaykh brings evidences to establish this from the Kitab and the Sunnah, which is important for us to do in every issue that we cover, we are all aware of, or we are all on knowledge of this point anyway. But when the issue of unity or coming together, whenever the discussion arises, we find ourselves too taking, or we find ourselves wanting to know how are we going to unite whenever this issue of unity comes up. And the Shaykh, he brings reasons why we're divided first. Because first everybody was already together, and then they divided afterwards. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba, they were all together, holding on to the jama'ah, and then the division came. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in some ayat, لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ ولكن الله ألف بينهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you would have given all that is on earth, you could have not united them, but it was Allah who united them. Or as even in the ayat that we were just reading, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. It's the end of that ayah. Well, Allah says, and remember Allah's favor upon you when you were enemies, and He united your hearts, and thus you became brothers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had united the hearts of the believers, and the believers, they were all together and down with each other, and then the division came. What caused the division? And sometimes before you can even go on to knowing how to do something, you need to know or to realize or to come to grips with your present situation and how you got there. And we even know this, like sometimes somebody has a drug problem or something, they want you to first realize you do have a problem. And what's the cause of that problem? So when you realize the problem and what caused the problem, now you know how to stay away from that, so at least you don't fall into that. And then you start to learn better, and they kind of work hand in hand, wallahu a'lam, on what you should be doing to remedy that problem. So we want to begin this evening, inshallah ta'ala, with this second half of the book, Al-Bab al-Thani, Al-Asbab al-Mu'addiyatu ila tafarruq, or the reasons that lead to division. And the Shaykh, he says there are seven chapters here that are the things that lead to division. He says first, bid'ah, and ignorance, and following of desires, and using your intellect and your mind, placing it above the text of the Kitab and the Sunnah, and blind following or fanaticism, or being determined to practice your cultures, or the evil, bad propagation against Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and their Aqidah. And lastly, he says, the people of Ahwa and Al-Bid'ah, their opposition to the Minhaj of Ahlul Sunnah, and the way that Ahlul Sunnah uses their evidences to establish their position. The Shaykh, he begins as he says, straying from the Sirat al-Mustaqim, or the straight path, and being far from the straight manhaj or methodology, that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has come with, following the way of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim, and those who come after them, and the Tabi'un, or those who follow them after them, are many reasons. From amongst these reasons are outside foreign reasons, and there are other inward personal reasons. The most important foreign reasons are, first, the Islamic conquest of cities, and the Muslims mixing with the nations that are near to them, or the ones that they conquered, and this being a result of it, as the Muslims were affected by their education and their ideas, and then the Muslims followed them in that, which led to division. The second reason, he says, many of the people of these other deens, when they entered into Islam, they weren't able to free themselves completely of their beliefs or ideas that they had before. And therefore, they began to spread different shubahat amongst the Muslims, or ambiguities or reasons that would prevent them from accepting or understanding Islam purely as it should be understood. The third reason, he says, the translation of many books of philosophy and logic into the language of the Muslims, Arabic, and then encouraging these books to be studied, and then digging deep into these books. No. The fourth reason, some of the Jews and the Majus and people from other false religions, they entered into Islam with biases that they, or prejudices that they had with them previously, with the intention when they entered Islam to plot against Islam and to harm Islam. And the goal and the objective was to destroy Islam or to distort Islam or to replace Islam with something else. And that is to keep the Muslims far from their deen that is correct or authentic with doubts and ambiguities and inventing beliefs that are in opposition to that which the Salaf of this Ummah were upon. And he said, from examples of these reasons that were mentioned, he says, Abdullah ibn Sabah al-Yahudi, he outwardly professed Islam during the Khilaf of Uthman radiallahu anhu, and he hurried in the Muslim lands to spread his exaggerated beliefs and ideas pertaining to Ali radiallahu anhu, inventing that he is the one that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had left, had advised us to be the one to be after him, meaning to be the Khalifa after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And then eventually that belief that Ali should have been the Khalifa instead of Abu Bakr eventually led to the belief that Ali was a god besides Allah. And other than that, from the beliefs which became the basis for Ar-Rafd, or what we know today as modern Shiism. Bishr, the second example, Bishr al-Murisi, the Jew, he had a big part, he played a big part in the fitna of the statement that the Quran is created, and denying and the removal of the characteristics and the attributes of the Lord of all the worlds. The third example, Ibrahim al-Nawwam al-Mu'tazili al-Burhami, is narrated on some of the Salaf that he used to be from the Barahima, those who disbelieve in prophethood and disbelieve in resurrection, and he used to hide his beliefs, and he had a big part to play and the spreading of the bid'ah positions or opinions, like talking about the true essence of Allah and things like that, or al-Jawhar and al-Arub. And he disbelieved in or opposed the miracle of the Quran and its rhythm. And he opposed the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he defamed the virtuous Sahaba and the Tabi'een and others from amongst them, from the great people of Islam. The fourth example, Abdullah ibn al-Maqfi', he used to be a Majus from Persia, and he was accused with a Zandiqa, or like Nifaq, until some of the Salaf, they said, wherever you find the books of the Zandiqa, or like the books of the Munafiqeen, you will find the basis of what they are upon is from Ibn al-Maqfi'. The Shaykh, he says, Hafizahullah, and from what shows or what really shows that these outside influences have really divided the Muslims and led the Muslims from the aqidah of the Salaf is that the basis of these bid'ah groups is from some outside belief. And that is that the Rafd, or what we call today Shiism, it goes back to the Jewish man Abdullah ibn Sabah as we just mentioned. And the basis of the statement of disbelief in Qadr, then it goes back to a man who was Christian, and his name is Sausan, or Sansaway. And the origin of the statement of denying the attributes of Allah and the statement of the creation of the Quran, then this goes back to the Jew, and his name is Labid ibn al-A'sam. Now the Shaykh, he goes on to the inward or personal reasons. But before that, I just wanted to add, we ourselves who came into Islam, like we say, we came in with some baggage. So if we want to know why the Muslims are divided, maybe because of some of the baggage that we still have with ourselves in Islam. Some of that baggage that we have in Islam, it's amazing, subhanallah al-azim. Most of us who accepted Islam originally weren't from this land, America, anyway. Our roots go back to another continent. Then, now that we're here, gave us a passport, citizenship, if you want to call it that. And then they divided it up into 50 states. It wasn't even 50 states before. Now we ready to fight or divide based on where you were raised up in these states. Then we carry it to us, this baggage with us in Islam. Well, you know, the Muslims, he from whatchamacallem anyway. Or he's from over there anyway. And then we have other type of baggage too that we bring into Islam from whatever groups or whatever we were with before Islam. Then we carry that with us in Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to leave our baggage where we picked it up at. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to shut the door on jahiliyyah and to never turn back to it again. The Shaykh, he continues with the inward personal reasons. He says, in my opinion, this is divided into groups. General reasons and reasons of methodology. He says the general reasons, they are four. Bid'ah, ignorance, following of desires, using your intellect over the text, blind following, fanaticism, and being determined to practice your own cultures, and the propaganda, the evil propaganda against Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and their Aqidah. As far as the reasons of methodology, then he says, then it is the opposition to the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah as far as they use or their outlook on using text for evidences, or as the Shaykh he means. He says, I will soon, inshallah, explain in detail these inward personal reasons. But as far as the outward foreign reasons, then it will be sufficient what we have already mentioned. He says, firstly, as far as the inward reasons, then they are general. And that is what is we're going to handle in this chapter. Secondly, the foreign reasons that were the reasons that many of the groups have sprung out, and nowadays they don't have much of an effect anyway. And some of these groups were even outside of the 72 sects, which are from amongst the Muslims. And this research here, we're just dealing with internal reasons that are inside of al-Islam, especially those who affiliate themselves outwardly with the Sunnah. Thirdly, the outside reasons are so many, and that issue can be a long issue, and it will take a lot of studying, specified studying, to try to give this issue its right. And some books have already been written concerning that. As far as the foreign reasons, then they won't have the full or the final effect, except that you have the inward reasons along with that. To the end of his statement, hafizahullah. He says the first reason, al-ibtida', or inventing bid'ah. He says bid'ah, we're going to give the definition in the linguistical sense and in the technical Islamic sense. He says that bid'ah in the Arabic language, it means something new that has not been done before. Or exactly like that. He says for someone who comes with something that no one has come with before, then they say that he has invented or he has come with a bid'ah. And this could be used to refer to any new affair, whether it is praiseworthy or blameworthy. As far as in the Islamic sense, then Ash-Shatibi rahimahullah, he has defined al-bid'ah with his statement, it is a way in the deen that has been invented to resemble an Islamic prescribed way, intending by following that way to exaggerate in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The connection between the linguistical sense and the Islamic meaning of bid'ah. He says, we see from these definitions that the linguistical meaning is more general than the Islamic meaning. And Ibn Hajar, he says that bid'ah in the Islamic sense is blameworthy as opposed to the linguistical meaning, because everything that was done, everything that has been newly invented that wasn't done before is a bid'ah, whether it is praiseworthy or blameworthy in the linguistical sense. He says, al-ibtida' a'zamu asbab at-tafarruq. He says, bid'ah, inventing bid'ah, is the most serious reason for division. He says, there is no doubt that inventing bid'ah in the deen, it was and it still is the most serious reason for division, and the most important reason for division, and from the most important factors that has destroyed the unity of the Muslim Ummah and has broken up this Ummah, and because of it has divided the Muslims into many groups, separating from the Jama'ah, which was the origin, that which every Muslim has been commanded to hold on to. And Ash-Shatibi rahimahullah, he says, Jazakallah khairan. Islam, it continued to increase and stay on the path during the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and after him, and most of the time or most of the century of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, until there was emerging amongst the Sahaba some people who were going away from the Sunnah and falling into the bid'ah that leads astray. But the Muslim community was still one and united until bid'ah started to stick his head up. And then the issue of bid'ah began to spread. And the Dr. Saleh ibn Sa'd al-Suhaimi, hafadhahullah, he said, from that which there is no doubt in it, that there is nothing more serious in its corruption in this deen and more stronger in its breaking up the foundation of this deen and more dividing to this ummah than bid'ah. And it cuts or it kills just like the fox kills the sheep or the wolf. I don't know which one that is. Sheep? No, it's the sheep. Which one is the fox or the wolf? Wolf? Jazakallah khairan. And then he makes another statement, and then he says it's like the cancer that's in the blood and like fire that burns the straw. The Shaykh, he says, the Salaf al-Salih, they gave a serious importance to this issue. He says that the Salaf al-Salih, they gave a particular importance to warning against bid'ah. And they used to see this to be, this issue of warning against bid'ah, to be connected with holding on to the sunnah. And because of it, you won't find a book from the books that are written on the sunnah, except that they have chapters warning against bid'ah. And there is no book from the books that are written by the imams around this issue, except that they bring a discussion about the people of bid'ah, and they blame them, and they warn against them. And they blame bid'ah and warn and call the people to run from it. And they talk about the evil of it, and the seriousness of it, and the evil effects of the people who fall into bid'ah. So whoever looks at the Islamic books, then he will be able to see with the clarity what we're speaking about. And there are many books that have been written from the scholars of the Sunnah about this issue in particular, or the issue of bid'ah, from different times of the Islamic history. The seriousness of inventing a bid'ah and the evil effects of bid'ah. He says bid'ah is hidden in three affairs. The first one, someone's statement, or like he's saying, or it's like he's saying that the deen is deficient. And that is from the side that this newly invented matter, it will complete the deen. And in this is opposition to the statement of Allah Ta'ala, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. From Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 3, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, this day I have perfected for you a deen and completed my favor to you, and I have chosen for you al-Islam as a deen. I just want to add a little clarity, that the one who invents bid'ah, what he's saying is Islam is deficient. And that's why we're going to invent this thing, so that the Muslims can do it, so that now Islam can become complete. Like for example with the Prophet's birthday. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he never celebrated his birthday, nor did the Sahaba or the Tabi'un or the Tabi'in. Okay. Why do we celebrate the Prophet's birthday now? Because Islam missed something, so they're going to bring it to make Islam really complete. And in that type of thinking, whether they say it explicitly or their actions is actually saying it, then it's in opposition to the statement of Allah Ta'ala that this deen is complete. The second, he says, is that inventing a bid'ah, this means that you are defaming the propagation of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam for the message of his Lord. Because Allah has sent his Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with guidance and the religion of truth, and he commanded him to deliver the message. As Allah Ta'ala, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ. From Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 67, where Allah Ta'ala says, O Messenger, proclaim what has been revealed to you from your Lord, and if you don't, then you have not delivered the message. The third point is that inventing the bid'ah is clear opposition to the commandments of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because indeed he encouraged his ummah to hold on to his sunnah. And he warned them from inventing newly invented matters in the deen or bid'ahs in the deen. As far as what results from bid'ah and inventing bid'ah in the deen are evil consequences, or many evil consequences, the most important are that you follow the mutashabiha, or the things that aren't clear. And it kills off the sunnah. And it leads to arguing and debating. I mean, these are the evil, some of the evil effects of consequences of bid'ah. And he says, following of the desires and breaking up of the jama'ah and following the way of the corrupt people. He says, thirdly, and leading the people astray. And it's difficult to come back once you get caught in the bid'ah. He says, as far as the harm of the bid'ah, inventing bid'ah, then it is general. There is some bid'ah that will affect the person who practices the bid'ah. And there's some bid'ah that it will affect the one who practices or invents the bid'ah and the ones who follow that practice of bid'ah. And from the bid'ah is that which will affect the deen itself. And from the bid'ah is that which will affect the ummah if they fall into bid'ah. And this is in general, and the details will be forthcoming. He says, as far as that which will affect the person who practices bid'ah himself, the mubtadi', then it makes him like, or the one who invents the bid'ah himself, it makes him like he has invented his own law. And this is only to be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to invent laws or to make laws. He says, secondly, that which will have evil consequences or will affect the mubtadir and his followers who practice the bid'ah, that is that they will not be rewarded. And all of these things that the Shaykh is about to mention are based on hadith, and those hadith will be mentioned inshaAllah ta'ala. He says, the one who practices bid'ah and follows the one who invents the bid'ah, then he will not be rewarded. And his actions will be rejected. And it will be hard for him to repent because he thinks that he is on guidance. And he will be prevented from drinking from the hawd of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will be prevented from the intercession or the shafa'ah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the mubtadi', he will carry the sin of the one who practices the bid'ah until yawm al-qiyamah. And they are promised, the people of bid'ah, to be cursed. And they only go farther away from Allah. And their witness is not accepted. And they invent about Allah, and they invent statements about Allah without any knowledge. And it is permissible to make ghiba about them, to warn the ummah against them. And other than that, from the ugly affairs or evil consequences of the people who practice bid'ah, that which one of these affairs that we have just mentioned should have been sufficient for every Muslim to prevent him from falling into bid'ah, and to encourage the one who fell into bid'ah to hurry to tawbah and repentance to Allah. Thirdly, that which from the bid'ah will affect the deen. And this is by keeping away much of the ahkam of the deen and confusing the beauty of this deen. From that which will affect the ummah from these affairs of bid'ah is that it implants hatred and enmity amongst the Muslims or the people in Islam. And this is the point of this chapter itself. He says, the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he says that bid'ah is connected with division, just as the sunnah is connected with the jama'ah. And the Dr. Tawfiq al-Wa'i, he says, from the characteristics or distinguishing marks of the people of bid'ah is that they leave the jama'ah and they break away from obedience to the jama'ah of the Muslims, and that their desires and tendencies and paths, they divide the Muslims, or something like that. The Dr. Salih ibn Sa'id al-Suhaimi, he says, from that which is from the more serious affairs which are clear for everyone with a pure intellect is that bid'ah, it divides the ummah and it breaks up the ranks and it destroys the essence of this ummah until they are torn apart into groups and different parties, hating each other because of these parties and killing each other because of these groups and making their blood permissible and because of these groups, and their spreads amongst them hatred and enmity, and you find that the enemies of Islam find a way to conquer the Muslims because of this division that has stemmed from the reasons of bid'ah. And the last affair is from the most evil consequences of bid'ah, and that is because the evil or the seriousness of this bid'ah is not just on the one who has invented it, or the one who practices it, or the one who calls to it. As we have explained, but really it stretches out to the whole Islamic Ummah. And then it affects that which this mighty Ummah is striving for, and that is the unity of the ranks and uniting of the Muslims. And because of that, we find evidence, much evidence, blaming bid'ah and the people of bid'ah and the warning from being from amongst them and the evil consequences of practicing bid'ah and the commandment to boycott and to be harsh with the people of bid'ah. And in light of this, we're going to bring some evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah and the statements of our Salaf al-Salih blaming bid'ah and the people of bid'ah. Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَن سَبِيلِهِ. From Surah Al-An'am, verse number 153, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, and this is my path, the straight path, follow it and don't follow any other paths. Those paths will divide you from his path. He says it's been mentioned in the tafsir of the statement paths from Mujahid, and don't follow those paths, they will divide you from his path. He says bid'ah and shubuhat. Bid'ah is those other paths that will take you away from his path, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's path. Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. From Surah An-Nisa, verse number 115, where Allah Ta'ala says, and whoever opposes the messenger after clear guidance has come to him and follows a way other than the way of the believers, we will turn him to that which he has turned himself to and enter him into Jahannam, or what an evil abode. And Allah Ta'ala, He says, يَوْمَ تَبَيَضُّ وُجُوهُ وَتَسْوَدُّ وُجُوهُ. From Surah Ali Imran, verse number 106, where Ibn Abbas comments, he says, whitening of the faces is Ahlul Sunnah. Where Allah says, a day where some faces will be whitened and a day where some faces will be blackened. Ibn Abbas, he says, the faces that will be whitened are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the faces that will be blackened are the people of bid'ah. And Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. From Surah Al-An'am, verse number 159, where Allah Ta'ala, He says, indeed those who have divided your deen up and they became groups, you have nothing to do with them. And many of the Salaf, they have said that this ayat was revealed pertaining to Ahlul Ahwa'i wal Bid'ah, or the people of heretical tendencies and following their desires, and the people of bid'ah. Evidences from the Sunnah. An Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man ahdatha fi amrina hadha ma laysa minhu فهو رد. And this is from the hadith of Bukhari Muslim, where Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever invents something in this affair of ours that's not from it, then it's rejected. And in the other narration, he says, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, من عمل عملا ليس عليه أمرنا فهو رد. That whoever practices a practice that's not from this affair of ours, then it is rejected. And on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من دعا إلى هدى كان له من الأجر مثل أجور من تبعه لا ينقص ذلك من أجورهم شيئا ومن دعا إلى ضلالة كان عليه من الإثم مثل آثام من تبعه لا ينقص ذلك من آثامهم شيئا. And this is authentically collected by Imam Muslim, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever calls to guidance, then he will get the reward of those who follow him, and their reward will not be decreased at all. And whoever calls to deviance, then he will get the sin of it, and the sin of whoever follows him in it, not decreasing their sin in it at all. Or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وعن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقول في خطبته أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل بدعة ضلالة. And this is from the narration of Imam Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say in his khutbah, أما بعد, indeed the finest speech is the book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters, and every bid'ah is a strain. From the statements of the Salaf, عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال الاقتصاد في السنة خير من الاجتهاد في البدعه. He says رضي الله عنه, letting the sunnah be sufficient is better than working hard in bid'ah, or as he says. And on the authority of Uthman al-Azdi, he said, I entered upon Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, so I said to him, advise me. And he said, عليك بتقوى الله تعالى والاستقامة اتبع ولا تبتدع. He said, I advise you to have taqwa of Allah ta'ala and to be upright, and to follow and don't invent bid'ah. And on the authority of Abu Hanifa rahimullah, he said, عليك بالأثر وطريقة السلف وإياك وكل محدثة فإنها بدعة. Abu Hanifa rahimullah, he said, I advise you to hold on to the narrations and the path of the salaf, and be aware of every newly invented matter, because indeed it is a bid'ah. And Imam Shafi rahimullah, he said, من استحسن يعني بدعة فقد شرع. Imam Shafi rahimullah, he said, whoever thinks that something is good, referring to a bid'ah, then he has legislated in this deen. And Ibn al-Majishun, he says, I heard Malik rahimullah say, من ابتدع في الإسلام بدعة يراها حسنة فقد زعم أن محمدا خان الرسالة. لأن الله يقول اليوم أكملت لكم دينكم فما لم يكن يوم إذن دينا لا يكون اليوم دينا. Malik, he said, whoever invents a bid'ah in this deen and he thinks that it's good, then he has alleged that Muhammad has betrayed the deliverance of the message. And that is because Allah, he says, this day I have perfected for you your deen. So what was not the deen then is not the deen today. And Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, he said, أصول السنة عندنا التمسك بما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والاقتداء بهم وترك البدع وكل بدعة هي ضلالة فهي ضلالة. Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah, he said, the foundations of the sunnah and our position and our opinion or position is that of holding on to that which the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held on to, and following in them, and leaving off bid'ah, and every bid'ah it's astray.
And the evidence for this is so many. But what I have mentioned from the evidences should be sufficient, inshallah ta'ala, taking a look at the nature of this research on one hand. And that is because the books written in this issue are so many on the other hand. And I will be short in my speech on the other side of the effects of bid'ah and division or breaking up of the jama'ah, that which the Muslim has been commanded to hold on to. And that is with what relates directly to this research. And I'll leave off the speech from other sides or something like that. He says, breaking off of the groups from the jama'ah. The Muslims were one group, or the Muslims were one ummah and one jama'ah, united together on one aqidah and one methodology during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then during the time of the Khilafah of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, and then after the killing of the second Khalifa, the fitna began to stick its head up. And the people of evil continued with that that until they killed the third Khalifa, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And then the fitna kept on going and following itself after that until the groups of people who followed their own desires in bid'ah began to come on the scene, and they divided the Muslims, and they began to separate from the jama'ah of the Muslims. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already prophesied. And the first group, and then during the last days of the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim, the Qadr, the people who deny Qadr, came on the scene. And that is during the time of Abdullah ibn Umar and Abdullah ibn Abbas and Jabir radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And then came the group, the Murji'ah. After that, the Murji'ah, they are those, the Shaykh, he explains in a footnote, the Murji'ah, they are those who say that actions are not a part of Iman, and they do not enter upon that which is considered Iman. And then the Jahmiyyah, they came during the latter part of the time of the Tabi'een, after the death of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah. And this is the different times that these groups came out. As far as the places where they came out, then in Kufa there came the Shi'ism and the belief of the Murji'ah, and then it was spread there. And then in Basra came the disbelief in the Qadr and the I'tizal, where those people deny the attributes of Allah. And then they established practices of acts of worship that weren't correct, and it started to spread there. And in the Sham area, which is the northern part of the Arabian Peninsula, there came the bid'ah of the Nasr and the Qadr, or the people who were against the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As far as At-Tajahum, then indeed he came out in the area of Khurasan, and this is an evil bid'ah. And at the time of the spread of these groups, or he was at the time of the spread of these groups, when these groups were being developed and spreading, it was at the time when the Sunnah was also very apparent, and the people of the Sunnah were apparent and strong. So the Salaf al-Salih, they waged jihad
on Bid'ah and the people of Bid'ah. And they were harsh against them and they boycotted them. And they said this with their tongues and their swords. So some of the Bid'ah died right in the cradle. And some of the Bid'ah remained, but it was a little. And the people of it were humiliated, and they were kept at bay, or something like that. But then it continued, this issue continued, until the end of the Khilafah of Al-Abbasiyyah, and during the time of Ma'mun, when the books of Greek philosophy were translated into Arabic, and then the people of deviance began to really stick their head up, especially the Jahmiya and the Mu'tazila and the Shia, and they were carrying the banner of their statement, the Quran is created, and they were testing the ulama on this point. And then the other groups of the people of Bid'ah and desires came to follow these groups. And then more groups began to come up into the madhab of the Ash'ariyah and the spread of that madhab. And then they spoke on the reality or the true essence of the madhab of the Ash'ari and how it spread in the different cities and the difference between the Ash'ariyah and the Maturidiyah. And then they spoke on the reality or the truthfulness of the madhab of the Salaf pertaining to the name, beautiful names of Allah and His lofty characteristics. And then the scholar is mentioning some of the reasons that he saw that some of the groups have left Islam altogether, and that the Persians had tried, or after their kingdom have fell, they tried to destroy the Muslims and their deen. And they tried to wage war against them, but they weren't, against the Muslims, but they weren't successful. So they saw that they would make another plot. So they entered Shiism into this deen, or to destroy this deen, or something like that. Ash-Shatibi, he says, a group from amongst the scholars, they say that the basis of bid'ah is four. And then the rest of the 72 sects, they come from these, or they branch off from these basic groups. They are the Khawarij, and the Rawafid, and the Qadiriyya, and the Murjiyah. And these groups, they have broken away from the Jama'ah because they have invented fundamental principles that oppose the fundamental principles of the Jama'ah. The first Jama'ah of Ahlul Sunnah. And to the degree or to the extent that they oppose the Jama'ah, then they will be either closer or farther away from the Jama'ah. And Ash-Shatibi, he says that these groups, they only became groups because they were in opposition to the saved sect. And the full sense of the meaning of this deen and from the fundamental principles of the Sharia, until he said they have went all the way off or something like that. The Shaykh, he says, so the intent or the goal or the objective from differing and division, then this is in the basis of the Aqeedah and in the Tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is exactly what had happened or taken place. So someone who looks into their books, the books of the different groups, then he finds differencing or amazing differences in some of the more important issues of this deen. For the reasons that Allah, for the issues that Allah had created the creation and sent the books and sent His messengers because of these issues. And we find that some of the groups that they have broken the issue of a tawheed or divided it up,
and they have invented their own false types of tawheed. So each one of these groups, they have invented their own fundamental principles that are in opposition and oppose the truth. And this is from the positions that their shaykhs have invented for each group. And because of it, they oppose the jama'ah and they go against the sunnah. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, the people of bid'ah, their sins is that they leave what they have been commanded to do from following the sunnah and the jama'ah of the Muslims. And another place he says, as far as the people of bid'ah, from the ahlul kalam wal falsafa, from the people speak from their own desires and with philosophy, and other people like them, then they are those who can't establish the truth, but rather they have fundamental principles that are in opposition to the truth and negates the truth. So it's not sufficient for them that they are simply not guided and that they don't lead to the truth, but they had to establish some fundamental principles that were in opposition to the truth. And they opposed that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, and they placed what they had come with over top of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he had explained in another place that the people of bid'ah, they establish principles of which they are upon in their deviance. As he says, so when what took place or broke out in this ummah from the division and the differencing and the people becoming different groups and different parties and what have you, then those groups outwardly, or their intentions didn't seem to go against the Quran or Iman. At any rate, he's making a statement of which means, I'll just summarize it real quickly, that when they laid out their principles that actually went against the Quran, that they would interpret or misinterpret the Quran to make it fit whatever rules or principles that they had established. And because of that, you find that every group, they come with a new understanding of Tawheed, that which is in opposition to the correct understanding of what all the prophets and messengers have presented. As the Mu'tazila, they have entered the denial of the characteristics of Allah, and they call that Tawheed. And they say that the Quran has been created, and they deny the intercession, and they deny that the believers will see their Lord on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and they call all of that Tawheed. And as far as the philosophers and their followers, then they say that Tawheed is the establishing of the presence of a presence or something and a characteristic, whatever they're trying to say. As far as the Ittihadiyya, then they say that Tawheed is that He subhanahu is a presence of which everything is present with Him. And then there's no difference between the Creator and the creation, but it's all one. And as far as the people who speak from their own desires in general, then Tawheed with them is three types. And they have, and they explain that with their statement, that He is one with Himself, His person, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is one in His characteristics, and there is nothing that resembles him, and he is one in his actions, and he has no partners. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that the most famous type of this three with them is the third, and that is the tawheed of his actions, and that is that he is the creator, or that is that the creator of the universe is one. And they use this as evidence to show that this is really what is meant by a tawheed, and that that is what is meant by our statement La ilaha illallah, until they take the meaning of lordship or godship to mean the ability to invent. Well, let me try to summarize that, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who has the ability to create. So he's one in his ability to create and own everything that he creates. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that is described with the most beautiful names and the lofty characteristics, and no one is comparable to him and those beautiful names and lofty characteristics. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that has the right to be worshipped, and none has the right to be worshipped but him. Those mutakallimeen, what they say is, what is really meant by the tawheed is that Allah is the creator, as opposed to the correct meaning of La ilaha illallah is that no God has the right to be worshipped but Allah. And that the true meaning of the tawheed is that Allah is the only one that must be worshipped, not that Allah is the creator. Because Allah, he says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I have not created the jinn nor the mankind except to worship me. So this is the real meaning of a tawheed, is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as opposed to just saying that Allah is the creator, because this is, everybody says that. As Allah Ta'ala, he says, وَلَئِن سَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ, if you were to ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they would say Allah. So everyone says that Allah is the creator. But those people, they have changed the tawheed. That means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that has the right to be worshipped, and no one should be worshipped but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They changed it and gave the meaning of a tawheed to the meaning of the mushriks, meaning that Allah is the one who created everything, and he is not the only one who has the right to be worshipped. And that's why they worship Isa, Jesus, along besides Allah, or their idols, or what have you. He says that Shaykh al-Islam, he adds on top of this, his statement, it is well known that the mushrikeen from amongst the Arabs that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to first, that they didn't oppose him in this aqidah, or this belief that Allah was the creator. Rather, they used to believe that Allah was the creator of everything. Even they used to believe in the divine decree of that. But along with that, they were still considered mushriks. As Allah Ta'ala, he says, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ, and most of them will not believe in Allah except that they commit shirk in Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in other ayat, مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفًا, and we only worship them to get closer to Allah. Like they say, we only worship in the idols. You say, who created the heavens and earth? They say, Allah. You say, why are you worshiping them idols? We only worship the idols to get closer to Allah. Now, so they believe in Allah, and they believe that he's the creator, but they ascribe partners in worship with Allah. And the tawheed means not to ascribe partners in worship with Allah. Now, the Shaykh, he continues as he says, so to the greatest extent that these people are establishing is the tawheed al-rububiyyah, or the lordship of Allah. And it's known that this tawheed If a person has it, it will not save him on Yawm al-Qiyamah from the hellfire. But rather, he must have along with this tawheed that Allah is the only creator. He must have the tawheed that all of the messengers were sent with to their people. And that is that no God has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and he has no partners. And that he should not be worshipped except with what he has prescribed and not with desires and bid'ah. As far as the understanding of the tawheed with the Sufis, then they have another type of tawheed that the Shaykh goes on to explain. And we'll stop there. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. Bismillah. To summarize all of that in one statement, practicing bid'ah divides the Muslims. Now, why we divide it and there's no unity? Because we practice bid'ah. So if we want to unite, or if we want to stop the division, we have to stop the bid'ah, because the bid'ah keeps us divided. Before the bid'ah jumped on the scene, the Muslims were united. Then the Khawarij came on the scene, then they killing the Muslims. That's how the Muslims started fighting the Muslims. They were divided. They became two parties. Ahlul Sunnah and then the Khawarij. Those who went against the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim. And it was amazing that the people of bid'ah, we checked them out, and we read these stories before. Alright, they're using the Quran against the Sahaba. They tell the Sahaba, listen, the ayat don't mean that. They say, we was with the messenger when it revealed to him. We telling you this ayat is to be applied like that. People of bid'ah said, nah, we got new understanding for this ayat. Allah really mean this. And then they use that bid'ah understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book to divide themselves for the Muslims. Now they say, we're not down with y'all. We're against y'all. Nah. So the practice of bid'ah, it divides the Muslims. And if we want to know why we're divided, it's because we're practicing bid'ah. And if we want to stop being divided, then we have to leave off bid'ah. But it's amazing that if the Muslims don't understand this, that the people who are calling the Muslims away from bid'ah and warning them away from bid'ah, they're called the Muslims who are causing division. Now, Muslims, they practicing all kind of bid'ah in their masjids, they happy. Now, Muslims got graves in masjids. They worship in the graves, making tawaf around graves. Everybody's happy. You tell them stop that, they say, see, dividing the Muslims, man. We're all good and happy till you came with that. And Muslims, they have all other kind of practices that are not based on Allah's book, the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you call the Muslims away from that bid'ah and call them to the sunnah, they say you're dividing the Muslims. Why can't we just all get along, love each other,
and be together. You say, we would be, but that bid'ah.
And this is similar to the statement of Allah Ta'ala.
Inna Allah ma yughayyir biqawm.
إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah would not change the condition of a people till they change what is in themselves. We use it usually with the opposite meaning. Let's listen to it with the meaning that Allah intends. Allah will not change the condition of a people. What's the condition of the people? They was blessed. Allah looked out for everybody. Allah will not change the condition from them being blessed to them being jammed up, or the opposite of blessed, I don't know what you call that. until they change that which is in themselves. Meaning, alright, everybody was obedient to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Let's look back all the way back to Adam. Adam and Hawa was on obedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and where were they? In Jannah. Obedience, Jannah. When they change disobedience, what they get? The dunya. They got kicked out of Jannah. Now, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us unity and togetherness with His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Muslims were one ummah with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and there was no groups. Alright. When the bid'ah came, the groups came. When there was the sunnah, there was unity. Then when the bid'ah came, division came with it. Alright. How are you going to get back to the unity? Get rid of that bid'ah. Drop that bid'ah. Get back on the sunnah. You'll be united. So, as Shaykh al-Islam was saying, the sunnah is connected with the jama'ah. And bid'ah is connected with division. So for those Muslims who want the Muslims to be united, they themselves firstly have to leave off the bid'ah, and then they have to call the Muslims to leave off the bid'ah and the deen, and then by this way, inshallah ta'ala, we'll be united. This is what we wanted to present this evening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. I don't know if there was any questions or comments, statements pertaining to what was presented. So we'll take a couple of minutes for that right now, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand our deen as everyone's heart is leaning for the Muslims to be united. But the Muslims can't be united if bid'ah, the baggage, is still there. As long as the Muslims invent in this deen that which is not from this deen, then we're never going to be united. We're never going to be united. And how could we be united if they have if they're inventing another religion other than Islam, how are we going to be united? That bid'ah is going to make them divide themselves and separate themselves from the Muslims. And that bid'ah is going to make them hate and have enmity towards the Muslims. And that bid'ah will lead to having hostility and making them transgress and violate the Muslims. And that bid'ah eventually leads to killing the Muslims. And how could we think that the bid'ah will not lead to Muslims killing the Muslims when Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was killed by Muslims? Uthman ibn Affan, the one who the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam married two of his daughters to. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam married two daughters for Uthman. What did Uthman look like? He was on his deen. He was the third Khalifa of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. He's the third best of this ummah after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He's the most shy of this ummah. He's the most shy of this ummah. Uthman radiallahu anhu. Alright, why would somebody kill him? An old man reading the Quran, you come in and stab him. Why did he stab him? To defend Islam. How in the world could somebody feel like stabbing and killing Uthman radiallahu anhu, Sahaba of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and married to two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How can you feel like you're defending Islam? Because of bid'ah. Bid'ah is wrong and makes you see backwards or crooked or lopsided, whatever the case is, and it leads to even killing of the Muslims. So sometimes we don't see bid'ah to be that serious. We don't see bid'ah to be that serious. You just say, leave a brother alone, man, just practicing a little bid'ah. No, seriously. You say, man, why are you sweating a brother, man? He's just celebrating the Prophet's birthday, man. Having, you know what I'm saying, nice dinner, balloons, dressed up and stuff. You think it's small. You think it's small. But that understanding, it leads to something else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turn us back to the sunnah, return the Muslims back to the sunnah, and help us to leave off the baggage of bid'ah. وسبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك